Taylor Report, CIT, we're on SoundCloud, and the Taylor-Report on SoundCloud, I think, and we're the Taylor Report on Facebook. We go under many names. We're also looking for closure. So I want to remind you, we're going to be talking at the halfway point with Danny Haifong, and he has a new book. You could look it up, American Exceptionalism and American Innocence. The two are intimately linked. Phil, you and I talked on Friday morning. There's a show, it's called Friday Morning now that I think of it, theater, movies. But we thought it was our duty to tell listeners that there's been some misreporting going on by our very conscientious press who doesn't want to be involved with false news. We have now people who write about this all the time. And so we want to help them out. We're part of the team. So we're fighting false news. So Saturday's Globe and Mail, they have a column devoted to their good work and how conscientious they are. And it says, with the rise of deep fake, quotes are on, fact-checking is as crucial as ever. So, okay. Well, in the Globe and Mail, I read at least two articles, I think probably three, and two in the Toronto Star late last week, in which they were talking about a bitter exchange between Donald Trump, who said he was going to perhaps annihilate Iran, and because he had lost one of his drones who was flying over their airspace. And Iran reacted to what they thought was a mental problem within the White House, which, by the way, has been a rather common observance. Canadians periodically, or maybe every day of the week, scratch their head at what people like Bolton and Mr. Pompeo say. I mean, really strange things. And among the strange things is that sometimes the president says one thing, and then his two chief honchos, Ehrlichman and Haldeman, pardon me, Pompeo and Bolton, they say different things. So people suspect maybe it's a game. However, it's extremely dangerous since all of them have a certain amount of power, particularly the president, one assumes. And he was talking about really harming people, big time, in a way that could involve even Canada. Trump, as you know, has an umbrella. His umbrella, nuclear umbrella, covers Canada, so we don't have a nuclear weapon, and we dastn't ask for one. We're never going to, don't worry, never going to happen. We are protected by his umbrella. The problem is, if your guy with the umbrella attacks another guy who has similar stuff, the little ones under your umbrella may taste a lot of ashes, as John Kennedy used to say. So, in our view, you shouldn't be adding to the tension, making everything worse. So here's the Globe and Mail comment. She says, it's a public editor. In every single article, photo, and video, whatever, should you double check. Okay, so the president of Iran was quoted as calling the White House retarded. We pointed out Friday, and we're going to point it out again. He doesn't speak English. He can, by the way, but he speaks when he's saying official things and to his people. He speaks Farsi, and he, in fact, did not use that word. There's a site called the BBC Monitoring, and they actually called it out. And this is why I'm surprised that the Globe and Mail, days later, and the Toronto Star writers, et cetera, don't journalists hear from each other? First of all, wouldn't it seem strange if the word retarded is there, because we know in English now it is a verboten word. You shouldn't be using it. It was once popular, but now it's considered very offensive and the kind of thing that can lead to violence, a lot of ugliness, etc. So we're told, do not use that word. So they said he used it. Okay, grown-up journalist, don't you ever double-check? And didn't you say, he doesn't speak English, so what, did he say that? BBC Monitoring says, no, he did not. And they said, they actually provided the words, by the way, any listener wants to hear. And by the way, there's a lot of Farsi-speaking people in the Canadian population. Actually, the Iranian population of Los Angeles is a very big population. Many of them went on the Twitter and on the internet and said, no, 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 no. But it shows the power of information dominance, of which Americans are so proud, that they established that story and it hasn't been reversed. It is still rolling. And it makes, and it, of course, causes people to perceive the leader of the Islamic Republic in a particular way, the president of the Islamic Republic in a particular way, that he would use vulgar terms like that, basically calling the president, retard. So, and here's how they dealt with it. They actually ran the words, go to BBC Monitoring, I think it's .com, but you can find it. It's on Twitter. And they did use a term saying, in the White House, there's a mental disability. And they're talking about a real problem which the rest of the world sees, which is this funny cacophony, is that the word, cacophony of voices, who, you, if you're trying to understand them, you think at the end of the day, maybe they're just simply trying to fool me because I cannot make out what they're talking about. Do they understand themselves? Therefore, the president of Iran said they have some type of mental disability. Further, BBC Monitoring pointed out, there is, in fact, a Farsi word for retarded. There is such an offensive word in the Farsi language. By the way, I don't know, we can't speak culturally. We don't know whether they regard the word in the way that is now regarded in English, which is another big thing to keep track of. But there is such a word. And then the BBC Monitoring provides the word. I'm not going to attempt to, I have it in my notes, but I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it. My Farsi is rusty, since it doesn't exist. But so they provide the actual word. So they said, had he wanted to use such a word, the word in Farsi exists. But what he said, and incidentally, said it twice. It comes a paragraph, and he raises it at the beginning of what he had to say, and he altered it slightly in the second part, but it amounts to the exact same proposition. So I'm saying to the Globe and Mail, baloney, you're not doing your job. And the Toronto Star, you're not doing your job. And the American media has just gone completely down the track. Because, see, they have to have equivalents, which leads to another theory of mine, which is that they're suffering from an anxiety disorder. The anxiety disorder comes from the fact that often world leaders, such as perhaps Russia, China, I'll pick out two, and the Islamic Republic have professional representatives who tend to conduct themselves rather well, and they tend to be rather well-spoken. So it's very important for our media and leaders who suffer from anxiety disorder at noticing that they have to pull them down and say, well, okay, sounds smart. He went to one of our schools, too, and he even speaks English. I don't speak Farsi, but he comes from a theological totalitarian state. And you say, I get it. So you're having anxiety disorder. You can't just say what he said. You have to go through this exercise of making sure that the masses whom you try to keep in the dark don't like him, don't find him interesting, attractive, some way like that. So you have to make sure you knock him. And Phil, apropos, you were asking about, I think, this matter of the visit of Trump to Korea. The CBC was losing it because of this. For what they didn't, you know, they didn't know it was coming, so they have to kind of glue the story together. But apropos of anxiety disorder, so Trump said, "May I come to your country? I'm in the area. Can I come?" He said, "Sure, come." And I'd like to step into North Korea. "Oh, sure, come." So he came. So they said, "Well, they have to have a sit-down conversation," and so they went to Freedom House, which is a building near, joining the border. And so the Canadian media said the so-called Freedom House.
They didn't. Actually, they didn't.
They did.
The Americans called it the Freedom House.
Yeah, it's called the Freedom. It's called
it's
Freedom
House. Called that.
I can give you a couple of clues as to why. They were invaded by Japan and the United States, and they defeated them, and they call that freedom. We would never, of course, never dream of doing such a thing. They call that freedom. And driving the Japanese occupier out, that was considered freedom. But so-called had to be attached because we have an anxiety disorder. If we say Freedom House, the phones will leap off the whatever, and people will be slapping walls and screaming, and Parliament will have to have an emergency meeting. You can't call the name the guy gave it. We have to give it a so-called. You can't just be Freedom House. So that's where we are. It's an anxiety disorder. But I like all this talk about, you know, oh, we have to fight fake news. Well, so do it. You know, here's a clue if you really want to help us all out. This used to happen when we had the old days of newspapers. If a foreign government issued a statement, newspapers were lazy, they didn't trust, I guess. So they said, what did he say? And they would take the whole speech, whoever it was, made, and put it in the paper. Well, if Putin makes a speech, if Kim Jong-un makes a speech, if the president of Iran makes a speech, president of Cuba, just put it in my paper. I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I would read it with some interest. And they said, well, you must be a sympathizer. No, actually, I just like to know what they have to say. I might. Who knows? It's possible. But that's where I believe, you know, we are. And I know you're not going to do that, Globestar, CBC. So at least don't add on your own anxieties and you know, qualifying adjectives and whatnot. But also, don't say somebody said something they didn't say, because then I'm going to get mad, because language like that can make people want to fight. You know, hey, you're going to let them call us retard? We're not going to take that. I mean, that shows you how nasty those guys are. And so, I mean, you've created an environment in which violence is more likely, which is our principal complaint. We're going to listen to a little bit of Phil Oakes, which should prepare us for our conversation with Danny Heifong.